Got Your Ears On is brought to you by Tactical Legion Knives. Live from the campus of Tom Radio, under the direction of Guido, Scoot, and Johnson, it's the pride of podcasting.
It's Got Your Ears On.
All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of Got Your Ears On. I'm Guido along with Scoot.
Yeah, yeah.
And Johnson.
Week one win. Let's just focus on that.
It's a win. It's a win in week one. It wasn't a pretty win.
It was not. But it's all that matters is it was a win. Let's keep that in mind.
So my best, the best part was, I don't know if you guys watched Neil Brown's presser after the game. The best part was, is he came out and he was like, yeah, we got a good win. Didn't look that great. He goes, but I gave you guys all fair warning that was going to be ugly.
He did say that. Yeah.
He's like, I told you guys it wasn't going to be pretty.
Well, he had been saying that too. You know, I mean, he stressed even going into halftime. So I was watching the streaming video, right, and they had Meg Bulger as like the sideline reporter.
Right. Yeah,
which
right.
I get a kick out of that. Rasheed Marshall was in the booth. But anyway, she asked him on the way into the locker room, what do you think of the first half and what's your message in the locker room and everything? And he pretty much right off the bat was like, well, let's just call it what it is. It's bad football. Like, he was talking about the offense, but part of me appreciated that, you know, it wasn't like coach speak. It wasn't like, well, you know, we got blah, blah, blah. He was like, let's call it what it is. He wasn't happy with it. But he was stressing, I got a lot of guys that have never been on the field before. And
right. I love him. Like, I love the whole attitude. I love his whole demeanor. He does not mince words. Like, he is straight up. He tells you how it is. It's kind of fun. And the offense did not, you know, special teams looked okay. We missed that field goal, but special teams looked all right.
Well, and they came right back and hit the next one. And right, in general, I thought they played pretty well from a special teams perspective, which is, if you've been around long enough, you know, you and I both know, normally special teams is a huge Achilles heel for us. So
you look at the game comparison, though, and stats, and it's like, I don't know how we won. I mean, total yards, JMU had 328. We had 294 yards. But the best one was, Scoot, you were really high on all of these running backs. Not so good, these running backs. JMU had 172 yards. We had 34 total rushing yards.
34. Yeah, I'm not sure. Johnson had mentioned to me earlier in the game how he was a little disheartened that Letty Brown was injured, and maybe that was the key. Maybe that was the key. No Letty Brown. The rest of the guys were like, listen, we're not going to run without Letty. So we will just get a couple yards here, a couple yards there.
We don't want to protest.
They do not want to show him up.
Kennedy McCoy carried the ball 11 times today for a total of 11 yards.
Yeah, like, and I think we could go down the line on that stuff. I think the 34 yards, and in my opinion, having, you know, I watched the whole game, Austin Kendall, he got roughed up a couple times. He took some pretty good shots during the game, and to his credit, I mean, he bounced right back up and went back in. So I think you take that 34 yards, and you take what you saw from the quarterback taking some hits. And, you know, my biggest thing was the offensive line.
That O-line is going to be, I mean, and like you're thinking, we played JMU, like, you know, next week we're playing an SEC team. We're playing some big dogs.
Yeah, like, I agree.
I'm a little nervous about that O-line next week.
Me too. I mean, some of that's going to be first game, but just, I think you can't come away from that with anything other than, okay, that's something we're going to have to figure out as the season goes on. And just one more thing, and then maybe we can move on. But for the offensive line too, they said during the broadcast that the coaching staff wanted to come away from preseason with 10 offensive linemen. So a rotation of 10, they couldn't get there. They got to about, so then they said, okay, let's be comfortable with 8. They ended with 7 that they're comfortable with. And so when Scoot's man Brown went down, I think third quarter maybe for a couple plays, it really put a scare into them, I think, on, well, great. Okay, we're already kind of a small platoon of who we feel like we can sub in. To me, it's kind of a scary, if they're not you know, kind of figuring that out, if as the season goes on, that 34 in the rushing column unfortunately could be a normal thing.
Yeah, that's a little frightening. But hey, passing game didn't look bad. Scoot, I got to give you props. Last week you called out one of your sleeper picks, I guess, was going to be George Campbell. Yep, and he caught a pass, nice pass today for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Now I was looking at some stats real quick. I know we don't want to dive too deep into this. However, I would like to point out that while Kennedy McCoy only averaged 1 yard per carry, he was probably on the field a lot less than Austin Kendall, who averaged 0 yards per carry. Hey, so right. he did run positive yardage, just not very many of them.
Well, and I got the impression too, as the game went on, they pretty much just defaulted to like little bubble screens and passes into right. the flat. That was pretty much their running game through the rest.
McCoy was targeted 7 times in the game.
Yeah.
I will tell you though, Tevin Bush looked pretty good.
Yeah, and he looked fast. I mean, we know
he
his
looked
speed,
super fast.
But he really looked fast on the field. That was nice to see.
It is Speaking kind of ironic. At- I was just gonna say it's kind of ironic though that and maybe this was all for show, I guess. How Neil Brown kind of teased all preseason long that the running game was going to be their strong suit. That's where all the veteran players were. They were going to kind of lean heavy, and the passing game was just going to be kind of, let's see what we've got, see what, you know, throw it up against the wall and see what sticks. I mean, Kendall threw, what, 42 times? I mean, that sounds like it was pretty
well. Yeah,
heavy.
I mean, he was, they ended up having to go heavy pass, but do you think he most likely didn't expect them to run into a brick wall today?
No. He said in his post game, he was like, he wasn't happy on the play calling side. He wasn't happy that they only ran the ball like 30 times, whatever it was, that, you know, he's hoping that's 40, 50 a game.
Yeah. They really went away from it.
Yeah, they went away. They did. They went way away from it. Speaking though, Scoot, of guys looking good, what do you think about Neil Brown sporting the old visor look on the sidelines?
I noticed that too. Yeah,
he's a visor guy.
I think he's shown that in some of the practice video I've watched. He rocks the visor. I'm okay with it.
Does he rock the visor better than Gary Patterson? That's the question.
Now I will say, and I've got a don't. I know Johnson will know the guy's name. Who was the coach at South Florida that ended up getting fired?
Oh my goodness! I know exactly who you're talking about. Daggone! It'll come to me. Keep going.
So anyway, I think he wore the visor the best. Because
he was a big visor guy too.
It had some nice lift to it. It stuck out over the top. Gary Patterson's is kind of like it's like he's trying to contain the comb over, but the comb over just doesn't stay inside it. There's a lot of swoop over the front of the visor on Gary Patterson.
I think you're remembering Jim Levitt.
Yes,
is
Jim
who
you're Levitt.
Okay.
Yeah, he was just, remember Jim Levitt was always screaming when he talked, regardless if he was mad or happy.
I don't know if he listens to this podcast, so I don't really want to offend him, but he did have a bit of a bird-like resemblance.
What? Scoot, explain to me, like, what's the purpose of a visor? Like, what is the visor? Why not just wear a hat? Like, point...
So here's why people wear visors, okay?
Okay.
I think it's to keep the sun out of their eyes.
Okay.
Right, I
get
that.
Yet feel the breeze in their hair.
Ah, okay.
So he likes...
For
he
that
likes
bit of whimsy. So practicality with a bit of whimsy is
Or maybe he has a... if you wear a visor, you have an affinity for card playing.
Like the old
why are they wearing visors?
Yeah, or banking. Yeah, or maybe you're a banker.
I think the visor's a good look. I feel like Coach is in pretty good hair shape. He's got a lot of it.
Yeah, I mean, he's like our age. I mean, he's our age, so he's still got hair. It's not like we're not talking about hair going away.
It's dark, somewhat like yours, sir, Mr. Guido.
Yeah, yeah, he probably dies like Guido.
I would imagine
he does not die. I do not die. I am sure Neil Brown does not dye his hair. I am confident.
There's no way that you shouldn't have more gray. That'll be a segment for a different show.
He's a football guy. He's a football guy. He doesn't dye his hair. I don't dye
my
hair.
I don't know if you guys saw at the end of the game, I guess it's the customary, you win a game, you get a Gatorade shower.
Yes, let's talk about that.
It's not customary when you win any game. I mean, no. I'm assuming it's because it's his first game at WVU.
Yes.
They're going to give him the old Gatorade, the Gatorade bath. Visor stayed on during the
Visor
Gatorade
was
bath,
on.
Right?
However, it was kind of like, watching the video, it appeared to be a very late Gatorade bath.
Yeah, because he was like walking off the feet, like he was like.
He was already walking out toward the middle to shake hands and stuff. And my big thing is, he was standing in between two West Virginia State policemen, who also took a huge portion of the Gatorade bath themselves. And my first thought was, if I'm gonna run up on two people with a sudden activity, it won't be two West Virginia State policemen.
Run towards him.
Let's talk about tasers.
What player was it? What player was it?
I don't know.
I believe it was Colton McKivitz.
Yeah, sticks out in my mind.
I think it was Colton McKivitz.
He went. And by the way, just to talk about the Gatorade bath again, he went full face on the Gatorade bath. It wasn't like over his back. It wasn't over Neil Brown's back.
No.
It was like, he dumped it right in his face.
Oh yeah,
like,
it was.
And the officer to Neil Brown's left took it all on the pants.
Oh man,
yeah,
it was straight frontal pants. Soaking.
He was dancing.
He
to
did
get
like
out the
an
way.
Icky shuffle, like an Icky Woods shuffle, to get out of the way.
He was kind of hot footing it.
But this also leads to another question: does Neil Brown really require two police officers?
Well, I think that's customary at a home game.
I think it's customary. I mean, one I can see. Do we need two?
But I felt bad for him, though, because his shirt was sticking. I mean, it wasn't like, oh, man, you kind of got me. It was like Nesty plunge. Like, he had just decided to get in a pool with all of his clothes on wet. It wasn't, I'm a little wet.
I mean, this is maybe another topic for another day, but are there any of these coolers that just have water?
What's the fun of that, though?
Yeah, I mean, I get on, it, but
water bath?
I think,
you got to see the blue.
I think Gatorade, to just drink water.
Gatorade sponsors it. Gatorade's like, hey, you got to go dump the There's a guy. There's a guy. His job for Gatorade is to go to all the football stadiums. He's like, you got to go dump that.
Now, Johnson, I didn't happen to notice. Did you notice a get back guy? Did you notice any of the stuff I was hoping to see? Some of the big posters the crazy.
You had the towel. You had the towel bands.
You had towel cobras.
I love towel cobras.
You had signs. Now, I don't recall a get back guy. I don't remember seeing that would have caught my attention.
I didn't see a get back guy either.
But you had towel cobras.
I didn't see the signs. What were the signs? Were there good signs? Were there like, was it like
Taco Bell, Yoda?
I don't remember the signs.
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper. Actually, I've watched a couple games today. Maybe they didn't have signs. And
I don't know.
Who would be on your sign?
I don't think they did.
Who would be on your sign?
I would go.
Oh, can I do? No, let me. So, Scoot, your sign would be grilled cheese sandwich.
Yes.
Chicken nugget shaped like a dinosaur.
Okay.
Hold on.
Hold on. He's going
to
get it.
Kelly Kapowski. Sounds good to me.
Kelly Kapowski.
Okay. I'll give you that one. And Balky Bartokomus.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
That would be on mine. For you,
Guido's,
Mr. Johnson.
Guido's card would be four beers.
Just but they would be all different hues and in different glasses.
It would all be like this. Yeah. Just a plain
pint
glass.
I'd be like,
that's
the IPA. Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, a stout. Okay, that's that place. It's a stout.
We're gonna.
Johnson's would be a bottle of Dasani.
Chipotle, Chick-fil-A.
Yep.
And Chick-fil-A. Like, there would just be two Chick-fil-A's.
Two Chick-fil-A's.
You're going two quadrants of mine or Chick-fil-A? Come on.
Yeah, right. Two Chick-fil-A's. All right, well, listen, guys, let's take a quick break here. Let's hear a little bit from our sponsor, Tactical Legion Knives, and then we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about this week's game and what we're looking at next week. So, Scoot, tell us a little bit about Tactical Legion Knives.
Tactical Legion Knives, a West Virginia-owned and operated company that specializes in heavy-duty tactical knives and gear for the professional warrior, the weekend warrior, and the outdoor warrior. Our products are built tough. For who? For warriors. Hey, Mountaineer fans, make sure you go on Amazon and search Tactical Legion Knives, and when you do, make sure you put in the promo code 25TOBRADIO for Tob Radio. You'll get 25% off on Tactical Legion Knives.
All right, welcome back to Got Your Ears On. I'm Guido along with Johnson and Scoot. Don't forget, find us on Twitter. It's at Got Your Ears. Check us out there. Connect with us. Also, don't forget to look us on Facebook, online. It's gotyourearson.com, all of that kind of stuff. We are everywhere. And, guys, Johnson, how about a little bit of a check-in? What's going on with the Axis of Evil?
Yeah, let's do a quick Axis of Evil check-in. So just for a quick reminder, Axis of Evil, not that you should need one because I want you guys to commit this to memory, but Axis of Evil, right. Maryland, Penn State, Pitt, that is your Axis of Evil. So two really similar games today. Maryland beat Howard. So good for you, Maryland. They beat Howard 79-0. A notable stat.
When we say that, it's almost like they played like a guy named Howard.
Right.
Yeah.
Probably not the university.
Desmond Howard.
Right.
Desmond
Howard. Cosell, apparently, yeah. In this case.
Cosell?
An interesting stat from this game.
He's dead like 25 years.
Maryland 79, Howard 0. Howard 1 net yard rushing. So not
1 yard rushing.
Not a banner day for Howard.
I feel better about our 34.
So Penn State beat Idaho, the Vandals, 79-7. So very similar game.
That's a D1 school, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Can anyone name probably the most famous Vandal that has played? I mean, he's an alumni.
Who? Yeah, I don't know.
Mark Schlereth.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay.
He was a Vandal. Right.
Really? Okay.
So, they whipped up on a hapless Idaho team. So, the other game, which is actually in progress as we're talking right now, the Pitt Panthers, they're currently losing 23-14 almost end of the third quarter to Virginia, which Virginia arguably a fringe Axis of Evil player. So kind of like with Syracuse, it's like they're not in the Axis of Evil, but if war broke out, they would ally with the Axis of Evil, I feel like.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You like Virginia Tech and Virginia and Pitt, they would all, yeah, they would. It would be us.
But it looks like
maybe Pitt, Louisville, Cincinnati, they'd be on our side.
It looks like Pitt's
well. You think Louisville would be on our side?
Maybe.
Petrino Louisville or like the Louisville now? Is he still is he
Louisville
there?
Now. They need us now.
He's not there anymore, is he?
Yeah,
I thought he got
there.
Well.
Yeah,
okay.
He's there now.
How many girlfriends does he have?
I mean, they'd be like.
Do you have a bunch of girlfriends there?
They'd be like, you know, Great Britain to us, you know?
I feel like. I mean, they would have to align with us, you know? I think all of those ACC teams.
I think we would take Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati would be our friend.
You think? Yeah, probably.
Right.
That might be it. Maybe.
I don't know. What about Syracuse? Where's Syracuse in that?
They're
on Pittsburgh. Syracuse would be on our side or Pittsburgh?
I think if we were looking for allies, I'm gonna go back to the old Big East. You're gonna get Cincinnati, you're probably gonna get South Florida and maybe UConn.
South Florida, there's absolutely no way.
You don't think so?
Well, I don't even know if I want South Florida.
No, they're terrible.
We don't want South Florida allying with us.
Yeah,
come on.
I mean,
they're terrible people.
UConn definitely. Yeah, I feel like all those schools that got it left behind, they would definitely, you know.
Well, that's why I think those schools probably feel like they should have gone to another conference.
Why do you think I get so mad at you when I see you wearing that South Florida hat that you have?
Listen, I'm a Jim Levitt fan. I thought we've established this.
Right. Well, then why isn't it advisor?
He wears
it should be advisor.
I'll cut the top.
Why don't
out?
You cut the top of the
I will
hat
cut
off.
The top of my
yeah,
South
that's
Florida
what you need
hat
to do.
Out. And I'll let the hair flow like Jim did.
So that was a quick Axis update. We'll have to check back in and confirm Pitt's loss next time.
We will confirm Pitt's loss. Yeah. So guys, after
can we call that a Pitt's noggle?
It's a Pitt's loss. Okay. Did you get Pitt's noggle today? After our glorious win today, how do you guys feel about going into next week's game against Missouri, SEC team? A little bit of a power. I mean, not they're not a powerhouse, but I mean, it's definitely a step up from what we played this week with JMU.
We're talking about the powerhouse that's currently getting beat.
Yeah, but we're going to be playing. So it's a Division I team. Let's just look at it that way. We did play a Division I team today. We're playing a Division I team.
They're
next
currently
week.
Getting doubled up by Wyoming.
Okay, well, that makes me feel a little bit better.
Yeah, actually, that makes me feel a ton better.
Yeah, that makes me feel a little bit better.
Guido, I do not. So I don't feel good just simply because of that offensive line trouble that we had today. I think I don't know, you know, a whole lot more about Missouri, but if they have SEC type athletes on the defensive line, then that's going to be another challenge for sure. I think I feel a little bit better about today's the rest of the defense. I thought they came to play. I thought they were active. The Stills brothers played a great game. That field goal block for one thing was awesome and really helped momentum shift our way. So, but I think otherwise that's going to be the most challenging thing I see. And hopefully Austin Kendall gets a little bit more, what do I want to say? Just comfortable in the pocket. Today he sailed some throws, but overall I thought he played pretty well. So,
well, and you know, I will say Neil Brown in his post game did say, make one comment that I 100% agree with. Like, this is the first game experience some of these kids have had, you know, especially in this system. You know, and so this was a big, you know, thing for them to be able to put all that together. So it makes next week a little bit easier for them.
I totally agree.
I'm with you. Like, I'm still a little nervous. You know, Scoot, are you still, you're sticking with 8 wins?
Not nervous. This Wyoming Missouri score is just reaffirming my faith. You guys are there's a lot of negative Nancys out there. Listen, your first game of the season. You got a lot of moving parts, new coach, new, like, 5 new offensive linemen. I know it's not 5, but it feels like it. You've got a new quarterback. It feels like half the team wasn't on the team last year. It's going to be okay.
You stick in 8 wins? You still say in 8
I
wins?
I still say 8 wins, yes. I'm saying right, 8 wins. I'm saying that next week is another win.
You and Herd Hater on Twitter, you guys are like buddies with your whole thinking there's going to be 7-8 wins this year.
I am feeling a lot better, though, you giving that Wyoming update. I'm not going to lie. Because maybe then we go in and that's a little bit more confidence for that game. That would be wonderful to go get a win there.
Yeah, it would be nice. It would be nice to go get a win there. So every week, guys, we do a segment we like to call Earful, hashtag Earful. And it's kind of us, the three of us kind of venting about, you know, whatever, either in the program or in the Big 12 or just in college sports in general.
Yeah, so last week we talked about traveling. So Guido, what do you got for this week's Earful?
My Earful is Texas. My earful is about Texas. Texas, and this is not as much sports related as it just reaffirms to me how much Texas annoys me. Hashtag horns down.
Yes.
Matthew McConaughey, who is on the sideline for like every game at Texas, wearing his orange pants and acting all, you know, all right, is now a professor. At Texas. Teaching a class this year in the theater acting department, whatever, of UT. Like, what? Like, you're Matthew McConaughey is a professor at this school? Like, come on, guys.
And what? and what is going to be the process of actually, like, signing up for and just the logistics of this class is what my first question was, because how many people are just like, I'm taking this, you know, everyone in the entire university would sign up. I mean, if I were there, I would sign up. That'd be cool. I want to meet Professor McConaughey.
Does Mr. McConaughey, does he grade hard? Is the whole class like him, just how to say the word all right? Today we're working on the phrase all right.
I just have to think.
Pounding his chest. Is he doing the Yeah, he's like, what are we doing? Like,
it would be extremely melodramatic, like every part of the course.
Let me ask you this. I feel that I'm okay with it because now he has a justified reason to be on the sideline.
Because he's an employee.
He's now part of the university. So yeah,
I would almost rather them have made him a coach. Like he was like some sort of special coach, special assistant to
Bevo.
Yeah, Bevo.
Could he be Bevo's handler?
He's Bevo's handler. Yeah,
and let's talk about Bevo.
Just be the mascot. Like they shouldn't even have Bevo. Their mascot should be like the Matthew McConaughey.
Then we'd be getting in trouble for a McConaughey down.
Yeah, McConaughey down.
Here's the thing. Have you ever seen a Longhorn in person?
Negative.
Yeah, no.
It is. They are ridiculous. Like the horns. It's a legit big animal. Like I don't think they're gonna fit in a tight space very easily if you get a bunch of them. They got to turn their head sideways and kind of angle. It's kind of like me getting onto a small plane. I have to angle my body as I go down the aisle. But
it's like when you have your big headphones on and not your earbuds.
That's right.
You feel like a longhorn.
Yeah, it's an impressive animal. So I'll give Texas credit for having such an impressive animal as their mascot.
Oh, and I will tell you, of everything, though, I do like Bevo just for the fact of what was it in the Sugar Bowl where Bevo went after Uga.
Yeah, Uga.
On the sidelines there.
That's true. I don't know how I feel about that.
Bevo wins that hands down.
Oh, easily, like, yes.
Bevo tears Uga apart.
What if they had some sort of like running of the Bevos? I think that's what Texas should do.
And it was like it would be Bevo chasing Matthew McConaughey across the field. That would be great.
But they'd probably have to angle their heads as they ran in order to get through.
Well, that's my earful, guys, for the week. That I just the Matthew McConaughey as a professor, like what kind of college is this?
It renders you speechless.
It does. What kind of school is this? They do this. How many football players are signing up for that class, you think? So
you think there could be some sort of ramifications, maybe some academic scandal.
Oh, it's absolutely an academic. That's exactly. You're right, Scoot. It's an academic scandal.
This should be looked into.
This should be looked into.
I
all these football players getting A's.
I challenge the NCAA to look into Matthew McConaughey's employment, and I want them to look over his class rosters.
I agree. How many football players are in there getting A's?
That's right. All right.
All right. So that's an earful, guys. Another great week of football. I'm glad that we feel a little better after our win, I guess.
Hey, new uniforms for the basketball team.
Oh yeah, I saw that. New uniforms for the basketball team. The blue ones look great. I thought the blues looked really good. You like the gray?
I like the gray because the numbers outlined with the navy blue number is outlined with the gold. So I think
Sharp. You like that look. You liked how you thought McCabe looked pretty killer.
I don't know about McCabe. maybe Culver looked kind of tough and impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Harler looked good. Sure, he says. So what's your guys? Will each of us give us one little takeaway? Johnson, what's your takeaway after this week's game? How are you feeling?
I'm glad it's over. Is that okay to say? I think, I always have that early season jitters. First game always feels like I almost feel like I'm going on the field as a fan. I'm always so nervous. So I think now we have a bit of a known quantity. I'm glad it's out of the way. I'm glad it's a W. And I think it's cool. I thought it was cool for Neil Brown. That's pretty awesome. It was a sellout. I was happy about that. So
what's your prediction for next week?
Well, wait, Scoot, what's your takeaway, Scoot, from this week's game?
My takeaway is that I know talent when I see it. George Campbell is just going to make me look like a genius, and I think you guys need to listen to me more.
I really have to say after watching this week's game, after watching the press conference and seeing Neil Brown, I really think Neil Brown is the real deal. Like I think this is going to be a good move for the program. I think as a person, as a coach, like there's a lot of buy-in. There's buy-in from the players. There's buy-in from the fans. And I think that's what we've been looking for here over the past, you know. Honestly, it's Don Nealon-esque in the sense of, you know, he's genuine and he's going to be liked by a lot of people. And I think that's good for the program, especially after the last 7 years. What are you guys feeling? Johnson, you think next week, you and I had said a loss last week. You still think Missouri's a loss? You think it's going to be closer than we thought? What do you think?
Well, I got to be honest. I would have said, yeah, I still feel that way. But Scoot sways me a bit with that Wyoming update. So I think I'm still feeling like it's a loss because it's at Missouri. It's I think it will be tougher competition. I think it'll be something that is going to be a super big challenge for this offense that's still trying to figure itself out. But I still expect a loss, but I'm now a little bit more confident with Wyoming doubling them up. That makes me feel better.
Scoot?
I think it's going to be a win. Did you give a score, Johnson? I didn't hear a score.
I didn't give a score.
Let's hear a score.
I'm going to go Missouri 24, Mountaineers 21.
Okay. I'm going the other direction. It's going to be a win. I'm going to say Mountaineers 23, Missouri 20.
I think that we'll probably not win the game. I even though it gives Missouri a week, I actually would rather them come off of a win and face us. It may be a tough win, but for them to get beat by Wyoming in Laramie, I think that game's in Laramie too, for them to lose on the road to Wyoming and then come back home, I think they're going to be still tough to beat. So I think I'm with you, Johnson. I'm you know, 24-21 Missouri on that game. So, and guys, also a very important question we ask every week. Marshall University played today, and how did they look today? Well, folks, they won. Marshall won today.
I think they were whipping up on VMI.
They smoked VMI 56-17. But granted, VMI is kind of like playing a high school team, in case you're wondering. Johnson, after watching today's game and seeing what Marshall did today, would we beat Marshall this week if we played them?
Oh, man.
I don't like
after
that.
After what I watched today, I think it'd be a good game. But I can't bring myself to say it, so no, we would not.
No, they would. No, we would still beat Marshall. Scoot.
We would beat them like a drum. The score would be 13-6.
I'm gonna say we would beat Marshall.
Which when you six? When someone says, "Man, we beat you like a drum," 13-6 is what pops into my mind. So yes,
I'm gonna say we would beat Marshall. It'd be the same that they did to VMI today. We'd beat Marshall 56-17. Marshall does travel next week to Boise State and play on the blue turf next week, so that should be
Boise State, who came back and beat Florida State today.
I was just about to say,
I know,
in Tallahassee, I think. Or
that game's on Friday night. West Virginia plays next Saturday at noon. It's a noon kickoff, so definitely check it out, guys. Another great week, another great show. Don't forget, hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. Thanks for listening. This has been Got Your Ears On.